Listening, task 1. Listen to the first part of the text. Decide which statements are A. true, according to the text, B. false, or C. not mentioned in the text. You will hear the recording once. You have 30 seconds to read through statements 1 to 5.
Wilkie Collins is called the grandfather of the English detective novel. Today, he is best known for The Moonstone, often regarded as the first true detective novel, and The Woman in White, the archetypal sensation novel. During his lifetime, he wrote over 30 major books, well over 100 articles, short stories and essays, and a dozen plays in which he explored the effects of mysterious, shocking, and criminal happenings on Victorian middle-class families. Wilkie Collins was the oldest son of William Collins, a landscape artist and a member of the Royal Academy, and his wife, Harriet Geddes, a former governess. Collins was named after David Wilkie, the Scottish painter who was his godfather. After spending 1 year at a small preparatory school called Maida Hill Academy near Tyburn, England, Collins went to Italy with his family, where they stayed from 1837 to 1838. He later recalled that he had learned more in Italy, which was of use to me among the scenery, the pictures, and the people, than I ever learned at school. Having returned to England, he continued his schooling at Cole's Boarding School at 39 Highbury Place. It was there that he began his career as a storyteller to appease the dormitory bully. His appearance was distinctive since he was born with a prominent bulge on the right side of his forehead. He was only 5 feet 6 inches tall, but with a disproportionately large head and shoulders. His hands and feet were particularly small, and his pictures from the age of 21 show him wearing spectacles. At age 17, Collins started his first job with a tea merchant named Edward Antrobus, a friend of his father's. Antrobus's shop was located on the Strand in London. The heady atmosphere of the Strand, a major street populated by theaters, law courts, taverns, and newspaper editorial offices, gave Collins ample inspiration to write short articles and literary works in his spare time. His first signed article, The Last Stage Coachman, appeared in Douglas Jerrold's Illuminated magazine in 1843. In 1846, Collins became a law student at Lincoln's Inn and was called to the bar in 1851. He never practiced law, although several lawyers feature permanently in his subsequent novels. Collins's first novel, Iolani, was rejected and didn't resurface until 1995, long after his death. His second novel, Antonina, was only one-third of the way finished when his father died. Then, Wilkie Collins started working on a 2-volume biography of his father, which was published by subscription in 1848. That biography brought him to the attention of the literary world. In 1851, Collins met Charles Dickens, and the two writers became close friends. Although Dickens was not known to serve as a mentor for many writers, he was surely a supporter, colleague, and mentor for Collins. According to the scholars of Victorian literature, Dickens and Collins influenced one another and even co-wrote several short stories. Despite his growing success, Collins's health began to decline during the 1850s and 1860s. He suffered from what he always described as rheumatic gout, or neuralgia. This affected his eyes with particular severity, and he often needed the services of a secretary.
Now you have 30 seconds to transfer your answers to the answer sheet. Listening, task 2. Listen to the second part of the text. Each statement contains a factual error, which is written in bold. Replace the word or words in bold with the correct word or words from the text. Write down only the correct word or words according to the number in brackets. You will hear the recording once. You have 30 seconds to read through statements 6 to 10.
It was during the 1860s that Collins achieved enduring fame with his four major novels, The Woman in White, No Name, Armadale, and The Moonstone. The first of these was published in Dickens's New Journal all the year round from November 1859 to August 1860. It was received with great acclaim and ran to several editions in 1860 alone. All kinds of commodities, such as cloaks, bonnets, perfumes, were called after it. There were women in white waltzes and quadrilles. It was parodied in the British humor magazine Punch, and even the British Prime Minister Gladstone found the story so absorbing that he missed a visit to the theater. In the novel, the sudden meeting of the hero Walter Hartwright with the mysterious woman in white is said to have been inspired by a real-life meeting between Collins, who was strolling home one evening in 1858, accompanied by his brother Charles and the painter Millais. They met, so the story goes, a woman dressed in flowing white robes escaping from a villa at Regent's Park where she had been kept prisoner under mesmeric influence. The real-life woman in white was Caroline Graves, who probably met Wilkie in the spring of 1856. She was a widow, originally came from Gloucestershire, and had a young daughter, Harriet Elizabeth. The novel The Moonstone was described by T.S. Eliot as the first, the longest, and the best of modern English detective novels. It is certainly a landmark in the history of crime fiction and has a strong claim of establishing detective fiction as a genre. It influenced Collins's successors from Trollope and Conan Doyle onwards and has set the standard by which other detective novels are judged. However, The Moonstone is far more than just a detective story. In its basic form, the whodunit mystery is formulaic. All the players must be seen as possible suspects, and this, of course, restricts character development and depth. However, this is not the case with The Moonstone. Like the precious gem of the title, this novel has many facets. It is a narrative of richness and variety, and was originally subtitled a romance rather than a mystery. Just before he came to write the novel, Collins attended a criminal trial in London, and he was struck by the way in which a chain of evidence and an overall picture of incidents concerning the crime was created from a series of testimonies given by various witnesses as they presented their views from the witness box. He said, "It came to me then that a series of events in a novel would lend itself well to an exposition like this. Certainly, by the same means employed here, I thought one could impart to the reader that acceptance, that sense of belief which I saw produced here by a succession of testimonies, so varied in form and nevertheless so strictly unified by their march toward the same goal." The more I thought about it, the more an effort of this kind struck me as being bound to succeed. Consequently, when the case was over, I went home determined to make the attempt. Many of Collins's later novels do not possess the force and freshness of his earlier works. Nevertheless, he remained immensely popular with the reading public. During the 1880s, Wilkie's always delicate health continued to decline. Breathing difficulties due to heart problems became more common. There followed several severe attacks of bronchitis. He suffered a stroke on the 30th of June and died from further complications on the 23rd of September, 1889.
Now you have 30 seconds to transfer your answers to the answer sheet.